Chovas al Dovas, Lady Shir, Wednesday afternoon, Shara Bitachon, Gimel Kislev. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Aleph Beis Gimel. Yes, Gimel Kislev. We'll start now. Another few seconds. And we're really, the topic probably that'll take up all of today's shiur, is the Chavis Halvavos' segue into a different topic than Bitachon. He was talking about the reason for Hishtadlus. He gave two reasons for Hishtadlus. And then he says, you know, after a person reaches a certain madrega, a person has been through life, a person has passed his nisyonos, a person has reached perhaps a spiritual plateau in life, so maybe Hashem could ease up on him, you know, and he should have to do less Hishtadlus. And he says, we see it logically, because this is the reason for Hishtadlus, so one would hope or expect or anticipate that the tzaddik, as he makes his way through life and becomes spiritually a better person and grows spiritually, he should have to do less and less hishtadlus. That's what one would expect. But it's not like that. He asks the Chavis of others. Life is not like that. And then he says, okay, I'm going to explain this. And then he sort of makes it the real larger issue of tzaddik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo. Because that's really the root of what he's discussing. The larger theological, philosophical issue is why is Tzaddik v'ralo and Rasha v'tovlo. And he starts, so he goes off into that topic till virtually the end of the perek, and then he has one last paragraph where he comes back to Bitachon and Hishtadlus. And that will conclude perek Gimel. So he starts off, we won't go over it again, we learned it last week in the text. He says, good morning, you're not the first person to ask this question. The Nevi'im asked this question, and I added to that Moshe Rabbeinu asked the question. And he brings down a few psukim that says, and he says, and guess what? The Nevi'im did not give a teretz. And he says, do you know why they didn't give a teretz? Because, he doesn't say, because he does not say, which someone said last week, and it's true. And if that works for you, great. Hashem is kel amunim ve'enovel. Hashem knows what he's doing. We don't see the whole picture, and that's all. I don't need an answer. I trust Hashem. I trust that Hashem's fair, and he's tov, and that's all. I don't need to go any further than that. That's wonderful. I love this. I'll say l'shitaso, a man would say. L'shitaso is not happy with that. And he wants to give a rational answers. And he says, the reason the Nevi'im did not give an answer, especially after having raised the question, which is like really strange, like one of the rules of Hashkafa is, don't raise the question if you don't know the answer. So according to the Chavis Halvavos, we could learn out that you could be honest and say, this is the question, and I don't have a very good answer. But that's not the case here, that I don't have a very good answer. He says, the Nevi'im, there's no one-size-fits-all. It's not a pair of socks. It's not one-size-fits-all, and there is no one answer that'll fit every situation. Every situation has a different explanation, and therefore the Nevi'im just stopped, didn't say anything. And maybe the answer really is the unspoken, maybe his unspoken point is, so the Nevi'im expected you just to have emunah that Hashem is fair. Tzaddik v'yashar hu. Kel emunah ve'enovel, tzaddik v'yashar hu. Tzidik adin. Maybe that's what the Nevi'im, he doesn't say that. I'm saying, it's like, what were they thinking? So what is a person supposed to think? But the answer might be he's supposed to come up with the answers that the Chavis Halvavos gives. Maybe. So the Chavis Halvavos goes on to say, so the Nevi'im didn't answer the question because it's not one size fits all, and they didn't want to turn their svarim into philosophical svarim of theological debates. But I will, he says, I will give you a couple of terutzim. He actually gives five explanations of Tzadik Viralo and six explanations of Rasha V'Tovlo. And he said, there's more. There's a lot of terutzim. Because none of his terutzim fit maybe a baby that's born very sick and maybe dies after 3 weeks. Well, what's the pshat in that? None of his terutzim fit that. So there's the idea of Gilgul HaNefashos, maybe, or there's other terutzim. He doesn't give every teretz in the world. And that is a topic in itself worth exploring and worth learning about. Suffering. Everybody wants to know suffering in this world. And really, that's only half the coin, because the other half of the coin is Rasha V'Tovlo. Why do people that we would not want as our mechutanim, why they are sitting on top of the world? So Chagallah deals with it and gives terutzim in a very, doesn't, one or two sentences, three or four lines. He doesn't, this is not the place for that. This is not the sefer about Tzadik Viralo and Rasha V'Tovlo. Again, it's like sort of, he segues off into that and gives terutzim as a, okay, so we'll learn it inside. Probably it'll take up the whole shiur today, even though it has nothing to do with bitachon, really. But in a sense, you know. Okay, so all the terutzim have one principle. Besides that, Hashem is fair and knows what He's doing. But all the terutzim, I think, this is my all the terutzim have as a fundamental. Has as like the background, the perspective of Olam Haba. That's what I think. I think that's an important hakdama to internalize the terutzim and not just to say, oh, he came up with a great teretz or with a not so good teretz or with a stickle good teretz. They all, you know, we all believe in Olam Haba. I'm sure everybody in this room. But again, how much of a reality is it to us? And do we really believe in it? And would we be willing to say that if I could have more spirituality and more closeness to Hashem in Olam Haba for all of eternity, I am willing to suffer 80 years of poverty? Big deal. It's certainly a great trade-off. You don't get that on eBay. But we're not ready to say that. We're not ready because Olam Haba is not a reality to us. And the reason is, there's a reason it's not a reality. Because the mind cannot fathom. When we think of Olam Haba, we don't know what to think about. A geshmaka steak? A good schluff without the kids crying? Like, what pleasure is there? We're not really sure. Like, and really, we have physical minds. Everything's physical. We don't know what is that glorious feeling of being bonded with Hashem and being nene miziv hashchina. Like, you know, so we think of something warm and fuzzy and touchy feely, and you know, we experience it maybe once in a while if you're in love, and the love is returned and you feel very close to the one you love. Maybe we experience it when psychologist would probably say, if we know our parents approve of us, that's like a very satisfying feeling that gives us a lot of pleasure and a lot of anxiety if our parents don't approve of us. I don't know. So I'm saying that's probably the reason we can't wrap our head. There's a reason why we can't wrap our heads around it. But if we get used, but all of the roots, but, you know, but again, we believe. We believe there's something called Olam Haba, and there's something called closeness to Hashem, and there's something called Nene Miziv Hashchina, and that's going to go on for all of eternity. And this world's like a joke. It's a prosdor. It's a vestibule. We're walking into the main hall. Right? This is like going to a chasana, and they have like a little, you know, bisli in the entrance. And then, yeah, that's us. And we sit in the entrance, and there's a banquet waiting in the chasana hall, and we're sitting there wolfing down the bislis. You know, that's what it is. So let's learn inside now the actual teretz. But my hakdama was that this is really the background of all the terutzim. All the terutzim only make sense if you really believe that, and that it's a reality. So then the terutzim are just different technicalities of saying it's worth it. And to the Rasha is, it's not worth it. He's going to get his comeuppance where it counts. And this is just for throwing the dog a bone. Just, really, it's just different forms of that answer. Vim kol zeh reisi levar b'inyan hazeh mashoye bo matas poka. I did feel it worthwhile to give explanations of the phenomena of Tzadik Varalos Rasha v'tovlo. V'omar ki haponim, the reasons, Asher ba'avuram timona mehatzadik his damnus tirpo. Again, he's in that. He's talking about parnusa. He's talking about making ends meet. He's talking about having what you need. He could have picked anything in this world, whether it's health or relationships. Well, like those are the two biggies besides parnusa. But he's talking about parnusa. That's his dugma of olam hazeh. That's what he was talking about. When he talked about bitochen and ishtadlus, he talked about in terms of money and parnasa. So why doesn't the tzaddik have it? Atche yitrachol the yivchombo, and he has to plugzach in Yiddish, you say. He has to really toil and to put bread on the table. So now, number one, if you want to make a list, and remember, if you want to make, number one is, he's not a tzaddik gomor. He has a virus. Everybody has a virus. The main tzaddik was she has a tov lo yechto. In fact, the bigger tzaddik he is, the more subtle his virus will be. And Hashem wants to wipe the slate clean so that his olam haba will be unsullied. And it's worth it. If you would, again, like I said, if you would ask the tzaddik, are you willing to suffer a whole life of deprivation? And you can be on a different level in olam haba. He'll say, absolutely. What am I? I'd have to be nuts to turn down the offer. So this is Rashi and Chumash. You may know this from Rashi and Chumash. This is probably the most famous teretz. That the tzaddik is getting his suffering in Olam Hazeh in order to clear the slate for Olam Haba. The reason it's fair, because Hashem is always fair, is because the tzaddik is, we're talking about a good person. And his averus, the way that Mr. Melio explains this, because the converse is going to be true in Russia. His averus are superficial. They're not really an expression of the essence of the person. All Olam Haba is you got rid of the guf, you left it behind, and now your neshama. Olam Haba it's not if. You know, we have these, judgment, and if the scale tips this way, then you get a 7-layer cake as a reward. Olam Haba is the ruchnius of your neshama. That's all it is. Hashem doesn't even have to give you a reward. You are what you are. You got rid of the guf, and now you are what you are. The omek, the depth of understanding of this teretz. Hashem plays favorites. He's like playing games. This guy's a tzaddik. He's my friend. So I'm going to give him his own eshen olam hazeh. No. The pshat is his neshama is unsullied by his averus. He did averus. He has to get a punishment. But they're superficial. This is Mr. Moyo's explanation. His averus are superficial. They're not a reflection of his essence. So his Olam Haba will be untouched because he is what he is. And the Averis didn't ruin that. That's what we're talking about, such a person. But he needs some Onesh, so he'll get his Onesh in Olam Hazeh, because Olam Hazeh is superficial. Olam Hazeh is transient. Olam Hazeh is just Chitzonius. And that's how his Averis are. So that's number one. Now, and to us, it says that, you have kashas on Hashem. Everybody, I mean, to a degree, this might be like, who says he's a tzaddik? It's like, a tzaddik. Even if he is, but other means tzaddik goes to Hashem from the yachta. He certainly has a verse, and he certainly would be thrilled with this trade-off. And as the Michtam Elio explains it, I'm throwing in a lot of things here. First of all, he'd be thrilled with the trade-off. The way the Michtam Elio explains it, it's not even that he'd be thrilled with the trade-off, is that it's not even a trade-off. It, like, makes perfect sense. The system is beautiful and perfect. Superficial actions, Olam Haba is you, is your neshama. His neshama is probably, that's what we're talking about, unaffected. So he gets his punishment for doing something wrong in Olam HaZeh, because that's the level on which the Avera took place. So that's answer number one. The answer number one is, Esher Shiyah Abon Shekodam Lo. He did an Avera. V'yishchayev Lipar Mimenu Olav. He has to get punished. Hashem doesn't overlook Averas. If you ever learn Masil Sisharim, in Zahirus, in Perek, I think, Dalet or Hey, he spends a lot of time saying that don't think Hashem is going to look aside from anything. Hashem doesn't look aside at anything. I watch Midas Harachamim. Yeah, that's Masil Sisharim.
I have a question for you. Is death a punishment or a reward?
We all would call it a punishment. If you can't put bread on the table and his kids are crying and he can't sleep at night because he's moving to his fourth apartment in 4 years, so we call that a punishment. You know, you can't win. So the Chavit HaLovis is saying, but really he's a tzaddik who has done Averis, so he's suffering in this world in order to clear the slate for Olam Haba.
Again, not death, I said death. If someone dies young,
dying young might be answered by this. Who in Nach, the most famous person, dies young according to one pshat in Rashi, because Hashem wanted to cut him off at the pass when he's a tzaddik, Chanoch. Dying young fits in with his teretz. It could be, again, dying young, it fits in with this teretz. It's a possible explanation of this teretz. He has done Averis. Again, and he's getting his punishment. Again, the word punishment. Hashem never punishes. I mean, you know, we use the word anyway as just a mashal, because Hashem never punishes. In our minds, in the dictionary, punishment is bad. Hashem is only mative. So Hashem never punishes. We punish our kids, but Hashem never punishes. Hashem is always a loving father who only means to discipline us, never to punish us, and is always working things out that should come out the best possible way for us. So, but you know, we have to use the English language. You say the word punishment, no punishment is really a punishment.
And the Olam Haba is such a great place that we're all striving for, so the earlier you get there, the better.
Right, and the answer is, you might as well ask why Hashem created this world.
Yeah.
And the Ramchal's answer is because Hashem is so good that he wants us to deserve Olam Haba, not get it as a freebie. Because if we get it as a freebie, if you get that bike you always wanted, it's great. But if you had to work for it, and you earned it, and you bought it, that pleasure is increased tenfold. And Hashem wants us to have the most pleasure possible, so he wants us to earn Olam Haba. Okay. So that's answer number one. Answer number one is, you call him a tzaddik, but he has Averis, and this is the punishment for his Averis. Again, I said two levels to understand that on. Number two. This is the good old, it's an Nisayon. And Hashem wants to increase his schar in Olam Haba. So Hashem's doing him a big favor. He's living a life of poverty. And Hashem is testing him, first of all, if he'll maintain his faith. If he'll keep learning Torah. Or if he'll get disgusted, if he'll maintain or frumkeit, the whole ball of wax, if he'll start getting angry at people, if he'll lose his bitachon, it's in the Sion. And at the end of the day, it's a good thing for him because he'll get more schar in Olam Haba. Again, on a deeper level, his neshama will be even more refined. Again, Olam Haba is just your neshama. That's all it is. So if you have the nisyonos, you have reached growth in spirituality that you wouldn't have reached without this nisayon. It would have been latent, it would have been potential, it wouldn't have been realized. How will you react if things don't go the way you'd like them to go? and you overcame that, you, your neshama, again, there's two levels to understand this teretz. And so you can understand that Stam is, you know, he gets more reward because he had a rougher life and he overcame obstacles. He gets more reward. On a deeper level, he is indeed on a higher spiritual level. This is probably what the Gemara refers to as Yisurin Shel Ahava, Yisurin of love, Ki Es Asher Ye'ehav Hashem Yochiach. And the idea is you're overcoming the Sionos. You're maintaining, I mean, there's a lot of nisyonos in other places in Chavis HaLavos. He wants us to maintain our simcha. He wants us to mekabel what Hashem does, not with a shrug of the shoulders and throwing up our hands and saying, you can't fight City Hall, but he wants us to accept it besimcha. He wants us to be thrilled with it. That's really a Gemara. He wants us to be happy about the tzaras that we're having. He wants us to dance a little jig in the street like the Breslava, you know. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you for my foot. For my year of Yisurin. Why didn't you make it 2 years already? It's so good. Just kidding. So that's teretz number two, is that it's a nisayon, and it's an obstacle, and it brings out the spiritual kolchos of growth that this person has, and he's going to get rewarded for it at the end. And again, rewarded is not the seven layer cake. Reward means his neshama will be in a better place. His neshama will be better. When we all know that when we overcome this yonos, we're better people for that. So that's number two, is that it's the best favor in the world. That's answer number two. Hashem loves this tzaddik and is giving him an nisayon so as to give him an opportunity to increase or to actualize the potential that he has. That's wonderful. And this is a pasuk, v'heitivcha b'achri secha. The full pasuk is, l'man anoscha u'l'man naso secha, v'heitivcha b'achri secha. Number three, again, each one of these is should be a lecture series for itself. This is like very... The yesh number three, this is amazing. This is amazing. Again, we only think of it, we say, what, that's not fair, what he's about to say. Yes, it is fair, because it always results in Olam Haba. Number three is that he should be a role model, and people should look at him and say, Wahar, and say, wow. Look at what they had to overcome in life, and they maintained their simcha, and they maintained their dedication, and they maintained their equilibrium, and they maintained their simcha sachayim, and so you say, it's not fair. Thanks a lot. I'm a role model for others. Where does that leave me? The answer, again, is always the same. The answer is it gives you moschar. And again, moschar doesn't mean the seven layer cake. Moschar means it's just a different angle, right? Angle number one is the purification from sins. Angle number two is you've overcome obstacles. Angle number three is that you're a role model, and therefore, as a role model, you go to Shemayim, and Hashem says, you have the credit of this bundle here. We have this bundle of 10,000 mitzvahs. You go, you know, I'm not saying anything, but I never did those mitzvahs. So Hashem said, you didn't do them, but the person for whom you were a role model was inspired by you, by the way you dealt with your problems, and when they had a problem, they looked at you and they said, oh, I can do that too. So this bundle of 10,000 mitzvahs goes to your credit also, because you inspired this person to do it. So that's teretz number three, that Hashem is giving the tzaddik opportunity to serve as a role model. It's another possibility. Yeah, we don't know. The Novi didn't say an answer to the question because there's no one size fits all. And again, you want to take the approach, I trust Hashem, that's wonderful. Well, this is giving us various suggestions, what might be an answer. So that's number three. And he says, Kemoshi Adata Me'inyan Eov. I don't know, Eov is a role model? I don't know. So the Mefarish here on the bottom says he was a role model for... the Sultan. It was like proof to the Sultan. Okay, it's not something, again, we don't have to go into it now about Eov. The point is, this is teretz number three. Teretz number three is to serve as a role model. And that will accrue big schusim for the person. In fact, the Chavis Halodah says in a different place in the Sefer that nobody really deserves Olam Haba. Right? Well, that's a depressing thought for the day. And he says the only way to get there is A, hope that Hashem uses me to sarachmim on you. And his second one is to teach others or inspire others and to increase your schusim exponentially, because if someone is inspired by you and then their generations are inspired by you and all of a sudden it increases, like, then you got a fighting chance, as the Chavis Halevavos. So that's the second way you could maybe make up for this treadmill we're on, that we never do enough. Of course, the Chavis Halevavos, by the way, is l'shitaso, if you will. Why is it so depressing? Because life is one big thank you to Hashem. So we just can't possibly catch up with our thank yous. And anachnu maspikim lehodos l'cha Hashem Elokeinu v'lkei avoseinu. Because anything we do is, again, we have to thank Hashem for. So it's just like, you know, that treadmill thing. You can never really catch up. I'm just, you know, it's just like l'shitaso. That's why you say, why can't we? If I'm a big tzaddik, why can't I deserve Olam Haba? Why? Because Chavis Halevavos, everything's thank you, everything's gratitude, and we could never show enough gratitude to Hashem, because if we do, then we have to show gratitude for that. We're always behind the eight ball. Okay, so that's number three. That's a wonderful answer. The answer is you're a role model. Number four, number four has two pshatim in the Mefarshim. The words are b'yeshiyah l'resha anshei doro, because there are bad people around. B'yivchenehu abori yosala, so Hashem will test him, but only with poverty. Ubereish, I'm not sure what that means, but ubechaloim, with ill health. L'haros chasiduso v'avodoso l'elokim ibaladehem, to contrast, look what a person could be. Look what you, Rishon, are, and look what a person could be. Those are the words, we're going to explain it. And there's two different pshatim in the Chavis Halevavos that the Mefarshim say. But the words are, to be a sort of a negative role model, and negative is not the right word, to be a role model for Rishon, to show Rishon, look what a person can overcome, and look what a person could be. L'haros chasidus v'avodoso l'elokim mibaladehem, k'mo shenemar ochen cholyenu hu noseu machoveinu sivlam. One pshat is that if you look at the totality of the world, there's a lot of rishoyim there. So this is to redress the balance so that the world can continue to exist and have chasdei Hashem and have shefa from Hashem. It's sort of like the second teretz, but the second teretz was personal. It's to give him more olam haba because he has more schusim. This is more of a world view that there's rishoyim in the world. That's how some learn in the Chavis Halevavos. There's rishoyim out there and the world is maybe tipped. We don't want another marble, do we? I just did the laundry and hung the clothes out to dry. The last thing in the world I want is a marble. We don't want a marble. So Hashem creates these opportunities for the tzaddik to redress that imbalance. That's how some understand this teretz. Others understand the teretz, and it's worthy of the whole discussion in itself. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested, for lack of a better word, please forgive me if it... Ultimately, when the truth comes out, it will be a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Now, for that Kiddush Hashem to kick in, everybody has to be modeh that Hashem is correct. And there'll be, you know, what? The Jews, it's not fair, they weren't so good. I had a neighbor that once spilled his garbage on my porch. And the Jews, they're not so great. And why are the Jews like, whoa? And we're like, yikes. Like, what do you want? The Jews weren't that great. So Hashem wants the Rishoyim to be matzdik es hadid, to say to Hashem, you made a good choice. The Jews,
good. We got to admit. It's an inyan of hatstokas, hadin. Everybody should agree and admit that Hashem is perfect and made the right choices, and therefore he creates these opportunities so that the Rishoyim, and that's mamish two different pshatim b'chayim of us. He says because of the Rishoyim, very unclear what he means. To show, in contrast to the Rishoyim, you are Rishoyim, and look how I maintain my tzidkus, so to speak, how these tzaddikim maintain their tzidkus even in the face of obstacles. So some learn that that's something the world needs to keep it on an even keel, that there shouldn't be a mabul, just to say it, beloshim, that we all understand. And some say the pshat is that la'asud lavo, the Rishoyim will have to admit that we are special, that the Jewish people are special, and we deserve that the difference in Olam Haba is not because Hashem's playing favorites, and not because there's nepotism, and Hashem is maybe Jewish on his mother's side, I don't know. It's not nepotism, but Hashem, we deserve it. We deserve whatever's coming to us in all the key. What does the Pasuk say in Tillim? Kol zos ba'asnu v'lo shechachanucha. Everything that was thrown at us in history, you know, now we're in the worst state in history where so many, the overwhelming majority of the people are not from. But we're hanging in there, and we're still, you know, we're trucking and we're doing, and so we have, you know, so that's the fourth teretz of the Chayvus Halvavus. Number five is a little scary, really scary. Again, it's sort of like number two, sort of like number one, except it's a shocker. Number one was everybody has sins. Number five is that, yeah, you know what sin he has. This tzaddik was too wrapped up in himself. And he didn't teach others. He didn't go out to inspire others, to teach others, to help others. He was just caught up in his own world. And this is the every tzaddik has to be afraid that. So it's sort of like the first answer that he's getting punished with averus, but it's sort of a across the board potential avera for every tzaddik to have. Right. The number one was every tzaddik probably talked lashon hara once or made a bracha without kavana once, and you know he has to get punished for it. Number five is just the same idea ultimately, but it's almost across the board. He's not. He doesn't stick up for Hashem enough. He doesn't care what other people are doing. Maybe he doesn't care about the other people enough. Whatever it is, he's too wrapped up in his own world. That's the fifth terrorism. And therefore he has to be punished for that. That's what he's getting punished for. And this is a technical thing that the Gemara says. And the Gemara says it in a whole Amud in Masechta Shabbos, and he brings down like the first example of the Gemara. Kmo shiyadata me'inyan eli ubanov, Shomer b'makosav oyakal anosav b'beischol yovel v'yishtach v'tol guzkev v'kikalechem. Hashem punished Eli's subsequent generations, and there was Chothni and Pinchas did not do anything wrong. Chothni was the bad guy. So the Gemara says, so what's going on? Why is this punishment said across the board? And it says because he should have been Moche. And this is a whole Amud Gemara of great people who should have been Moche, who should have stood up and said, this is wrong, and let me teach you what's right. You have to know how to give Musa, obviously. We're not going into that whole thing. But if you just sit by, and whether it's your household members, again, you have to do it with Seichel, and you have to do it in a way that doesn't cause Chilul Hashem, and there's... the truth is, we need a whole course. We need a whole course and 20 lectures of how to be moche in a way that doesn't cause resentment and how it doesn't cause chilul Hashem. And now we have to be more careful than ever because the media and everything is controlled by not well-meaning people, and they're ready to pounce. So if you do one thing wrong, they'll pounce, and you've created a chilul Hashem instead of a Kiddush Hashem. So again, it takes a lot of chokhmah and a lot of... But the point is, and this is throughout that whole Amud of Gemara, and it's scary. The tzaddik cannot be wrapped up in his own world, in her own world, and say, you know, Shalom Alei Nafshi, I'm okay, Jack. Tzaddik has to be worried about Kavod Hashem, about other people's ruchnius, and he has to go out there and try to make some sort of impact on them in some way, shape, or form, whatever is appropriate for that person. And that's the, like, aveira that the tzaddik inevitably, I shouldn't say inevitably, chas v'shalom, but all too often has. And so again, it technically it's the same as the first teretz, that you have an aveira. But it's very across the board, and therefore that's number five. Yeah. It's a very interesting question. Let's wait till the end of the perek, because at the end of the perek, the Chavis Halvodos discusses people's obligation to use their God-given talents. Now, he is rather talking about it for parnasa, and you have an obligation to use your God-given talents because that's how Hashem speaks to you. That's your nevuah. You say, oh, I can play piano. So Hashem is telling you to use that talent. What you're saying is an offshoot of that, to use your talent to be makarev people, let's say, to use a... Yeah, but it's something that should worry us. If it's number five in the Chayvus Halvavus, that means every person who's from has to ask themselves, uh-oh, maybe I'm just like Mestapik B'muat. I'm just happy to be from. I should be looking out more and seeing what I can do for others. And that's number five. And he says that Tzaddik Viralo might be based on that. Again, he must mean that it's a tendency of Tzaddikim to do that. Because the Gemara uses very harsh terms for Shmuel's children were guilty of the... No, not Shmuel's children. Eli's, Chofni, Pinchas. Shmuel was not like that. The Gemara makes a big deal that the reason Shmuel was on such a high madrega is because he didn't open a yeshiva and take in boys or girls or whatever. He traveled around. He was a wandering minstrel, and he taught Torah. He went around teaching, giving classes. He didn't sit home and wait. So that's Shmuel. But his sons didn't do that. And lo holchu banav bedrachav, which sounds like such a damning indictment. But the Gemara says that's all it means. They didn't holchu bedrachav. They didn't travel around. They sat down and they opened the yeshiva. They said, "Whoever wants to come can come. Open enrollment." That's not. That wasn't good enough. Again, to apply it is not easy. He's really, and the Gemara is really talking about being mocha. And nowadays, people don't take kindly to macha. It has to be done with great wisdom. Great wisdom, because nowadays, if you do it a little too publicly, you've created chilul Hashem. If you do it a little too harshly, it causes resentment, because everybody is very touchy nowadays. Everybody's once. We're living in the age of victimhood. I don't step on my toes. So you got to be careful. But it remains an obligation. It's not a patur. If it takes chachma, so go acquire the chachma. Talk to people who know how to do it and learn that skill. But anyway, that's number five. Okay, those are the five Tzaddik Viralo explanations. They're all centered around that Olam Haba is really where the action is. And this is all a facade. Now we get to Rosh Hashanah. So the first answer, Avol Tovas Hakel Yisbarach Al HaRasha. So the first one's easy, because the first one is the flip side of the first one of the Tzaddik Viralo. The Rasha gets something right in his life. I mean, he has to have some mitzvahs. So again, so Hashem will pay him back in Olam HaZeh in order that he'll get his full punishment in Olam HaBa. Wait a second, that's not fear. That's not fear. So again, we come to the Michtam Eliyahu, and we say the Rasha's mitzvahs are superficial. We're not talking about your run-of-the-mill Rasha. We're talking about someone whose neshama doesn't deserve any Olam Haba, or he deserves whatever he's going to get. But he has mitzvahs that have to be dealt with, but they're superficial. This is where the Michtam Eliyahu is really more important than the Rasha B'Tovlo angle. And again, this is a Rashi in Chumash, what the Chavis Halvav says as number one. So he gets his reward. he gets his reward in Olam Hazeh. But according to Mr. Meliel, that is eminently fair, because his mitzvahs were superficial. They weren't an expression of who he is or what he is. You know, you see, so there's a joke. Some of you who learned Shaar Bitochen with me must remember the joke. You don't remember anything of Shaar Bitochen, but you remember the joke. This guy comes to Shemayim, and he's a Rasha, very big Rasha, and they want to send him down to Gehenna, terrible Rasha. And finally, some of the old son of Malach pops up is that he once gave a nickel to a poor person. Something came over him, and a poor person worked on the street, and he gave him a nickel. Can't send him to Gehenna. That's very gate stucker. Like stucker is like, wow. So it's a big a fight breaks out in Shemayim, but he's a Rasha. Nickel to her. And a voice rings out, says, give him back his nickel and let him go to hell. That's just a joke. That's not Chavis Halbomis' answer. So that's answer number one. And again, here you need the Michta Melio more, because it's really not fair, because the real schar is an Olam Haba, and if he really did a mitzvah, so like, well, what's Hashem doing? So here the Michta Melio's explanation of it is even more important, I think. So he says, so that's Mishalom L'sona V'lponov L'ha'avido, and this is really a pasuk in Chumash, and this is the way Rashi learns, the Tigrimo Bo HaRishonim Mishalom L'sanohi Zchus Zichvan, the Zchus, the Inan Obdin Kadamohi, the mitzvahs that they did, B'chayayan, they pays them back while they're alive, meaning in Olam Hazeh, L'ovdehon, in order to give them their full punishment in Olam Haba. Okay, that's answer number one. The Rosh of a Tovlo is getting the reward for his mitzvah. Now this might make, if you have a nice life, by the way, and you're very happy with your life, and things are going well, should you be nervous? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. I can't answer the question. You have to make a cheshbon hanefesh and see if you should be nervous. You say, I must have done something wrong. Please, Hashem, punish me in this world. It sounds funny, but if we believe in Olam Haba, and like we must have done some averus, but my life is going so swimmingly well. But the Teretz is no one's life. I mean, I have to meet that person. It's going like really, really well, and our attitude towards the bumps in the road should, and that's why. Thank you, Hashem. It sounds funny, and maybe don't tell it to your neighbor, but you say, yeah, thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, because I'm sure I've done averus, and this is wonderful. Like maybe answer number one in the chavis. I'd rather be the tzaddik who's having it ralo because of the averus that he did, than have a wonderful, beautiful life in Olam Hazeh, and I'm the Rasha that's getting paid back for the few mitzvahs that I threw Hashem along the way of my life. And so, that's something to think about. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll continue with the